You know, Mark, it's really fine as long as as long as we have the audio. If that's not a problem, if that's not a problem for you.
No, good.
Wow, thank you so much. It's quite an honor. I have to say that I've really looked up to you for some time. I've followed you guys, your website, and what an inspiration you are to many arborists out there. Mark Bridge with the Tree Imagineers, welcome, welcome.
Thank you, TC.
You know, Mark, before when I had messaged you, I sort of had this concept of design in mind, and by that, you know, I wanted to get into maybe a few specific things regarding design. But one of them is the way that you've designed your professional career, as an arborist and as a designer as well. I know you guys have so much influence in so many different areas. Can you talk about that and how you sort of set yourself up to be such a dynamic person in the industry?
Yeah, it's funny. I was thinking about that when you sent through your thoughts before, and it's a funny one actually, because I'm always a bit puzzled by people who have, their course in life all plotted out. Because I've never worked like that. To me, it's always been something where one thing just led to the next. I've never really had a great, a sort of grand game plan. You sort of, for me, it's always just things have unfolded. It's been a very organic process that was influenced by what I was doing at a given point in time and the people that I met and, ending up at Tree Care. And I suppose, one thing leads to the next, to where we are today. My perception is also not, I appreciate you saying, that we've been influential. I like to think that we've contributed something, but I never set, that was never a target we set out to. We never set out to become that. It was just basically with Chris and Bettis talking about things that we felt strongly about and interested in, and finding out more about that, and yeah, that's where it came from, really.
You know, that's I think what's really interesting is the relationship that you three have. You know, I'm not sure where I'm getting this idea from, but and I don't know if maybe it was in an interview that I've heard with you, and maybe not, maybe I'm just creating this in my mind, but this idea of Tree Imagineers as your relationship with Chris and Bettis, and not as a brand, but as, like you said before, this organic thing. Do you feel like that relationship and Tree Imagineers as an entity has evolved over time? And is that something is that something that was a part of your vision for it?
That's a good question. The brand one is an interesting one. Where big companies will spend millions of dollars or euros or whatever to create brands, and we reached a point where we realized that people did have a brand image of Tree Imagineers that didn't necessarily correlate with our understanding of what the project is. So actually the blog and the Tree Imagineers site was one effort to reverse engineer or to put something, a counterpoint to that brand image that people might have of us. It's all about gear and it's all about high tech, and that's not our understanding of where we're coming from at all. Has it evolved? Yes, of course it's evolved. I guess all of us in sort of long-term projects, we grow older together, and your requirements change, and your the focuses you have in life change. I think what in all of the projects that I'm involved in, whether it's Stream Engineers or whether it's the tree tech company here or the training company, it's been it's important to me to have space to evolve into that these things are not static or set in stone. So, with the Tree Imagineers example, one thing we've always said is we do it as long as it's fun, and we do it as long as there's things that remain to be explored and are interesting. And sometimes the focus might be on equipment or on design solutions, but other times it might be doing testing together, going up in the Highlands and spending 10 days up in the Highlands doing testing to understand a question better, or the opportunity to work with a new person, a new group of people to gain a deeper insight into requirements that they have or, the questions they're working on. So, yes, I think it's a constant state of flux and change and evolution, definitely.
It's really interesting, I sort of had this question for you, and really it's my aim to try and find inspiration every day in what I do. And a lot of times I find that inspiration, maybe not so much in the trees that I care for, but a lot of times in the people that I deal with. And, I sort of had this question for you, is what really drives you forward? You had mentioned designing gear and finding solutions to these problems. And, let's be honest, everybody does need to make a living doing what we do. Whereas some people may be motivated by invention or innovation, some people might be driven by money. What is it that drives you forward, and what is it that you're looking to get out of your day-to-day routines?
I think I remain just very interested in the way people interact and interacting with people on a daily basis in the company and dealing with customers and climbing. I find that really interesting, working in a team. How do we approach this? How do we tackle this problem we're confronted with today? How do we identify solutions that are appropriate that will work for the customer, that work for the tree? How are we going to solve this problem technically? How are we going to climb this tree? How are we going to get the work done? How's the team interacting while we're doing it? What's that chemistry like? That would be on a daily basis. And then, when you go into events, into comps or shows or workshops or whatever, understanding the group of people I'm working with, what can I offer these people that's going to be meaningful to them? Going to an event or organizing an event, and sensing that moment where people start interacting together, that to me is the moment that an event gains a soul. And to me, I think that interaction between people is something that I find interesting, and that is, interesting and intriguing, because sometimes it's quite hard to get a handle on. And the other thing, I think if we're talking about a sort of climbing challenges, because to me, very much, I would really not want to lose that part of what we do with climbing, is achieving that sense of flow, when you're in the climb and you're totally focused and immersed in what you're doing. That I find something that really fascinates me about working on and in trees.
Yeah, that's it. It's really something special, I think of the right now at this point in my career, we're doing a lot of production work, a lot of climbing, running around, trying to get to as many comps as possible. And, you know, from your perspective, I mean, you, Chris, Bettis, you know, you're some of the best tree climbers in the world. From a competitive standpoint, you've all had this sort of this such great success in that area. And so now, you know, with that production mindset, you grow older. Do you struggle with sort of losing an edge? Do you feel nostalgic for where at one point you may have been physically, and how does that evolve, and how do you redesign your approach based on how you change physically over time? Can you get into that a little bit?
Yeah, I don't really rationalize it. You know, to me, the process of getting older is an inevitable one. But, you know, do I feel old now? Not really. I feel the same like I did 10 or 15 years ago. You know, of course there's niggles and stuff, but, you know, in my perception myself. And, yes, you know, I do spend, one of the guys on the team, you know, sort of, mid-20s, kid was saying that he hurt his shoulder or something. He said he was going for physio, which puzzled me a bit, because I was like, yeah, I guess, you know, for me, in a sense, as you get older, you're in a sort of constant dialogue with your body, trying to preemptively see to feel where there's, you know, niggles and aches and pain, and you're sort of working against that inevitable degradation you get over time. For me, one of the things I'll focus on is, you know, training core strength, or sort of stretching routines and stuff like that, or rowing, I think, is a good one. And I think if you do that, I think you can carry on for a long time. My partner in Serge, in the company, he's 10 years older than me, so it makes him, you know, 57 something. And he's a powerhouse out there every day. So, you know, when you get somebody in an office leaning out an office window shouting down, you're not going to do that until you're 60. You look at the guy, you know, hanging out the window with a cigarette in one hand and a cup of coffee in the other, bright red in the face. You know, like, well, mate, I'm not sure who's going to pop his clogs first. Many worse things to be doing than climbing trees, but you do have to listen to your body.
No, that's beautiful. Well said there. That, you know, I think that you brought up a good point with not rationalizing it. You know, it is something that we accept and we grow with. But I do think that competitiveness, the will to want to win all the time, even if it's against ourselves and the physical struggles, that we come to face on the work site every day. I mean, let's be honest, in rigging challenges, climbing challenges, we deal with it all the time. Yeah. And, that competitive edge is really something that I constantly get hung up on, and maybe it's a little bit of ego mixed in as well. But, you know, this idea of refusing to lose and always wanting to be top dog, I think that it's a good thing. But I also think that, you know, we struggle with it as individuals too, which is it's a really interesting thing. You know, one other thing, Mark, I sort of have this concept in my mind of the modern arborist, you know, coming into its own, and what the modern arborist is, from an experience standpoint, but also from a philosophical standpoint, is not just about tree care on the surface and about making money. Is that there's something more to be discovered. And you know, you brought up the relationships between people and really yearning to to connect with people. And you know, we know what the modern arborist is. We have an understanding of what it is, proper PPE, following the right work procedures, treating clients with respect. But, you know, what I want to know is, what do you think the postmodern arborist will look like? What is the future of arboriculture, and where is it going? Because I feel as though things advance so quickly, and it's sort of this struggle between this cutting edge technology and also hanging on to the proven designs of the past. What do you think that the arborist of the future will look like?
Well, there's many factors that influence that. I think, though, you know, just taking a step back, I think this view of a constant progression is deeply flawed. I think things go in cycles. You know, things are forgotten and reinvented, rediscovered. So I think the perception that, you know, we're constantly, you know, there's a step and then there's a next step and there's always an incremental increase, I think that's not the way that evolution works. You know, if you asked me if I had to single out one product that I thought were representative of the elegance of solutions in tree climbing, I think it would be the ring-to-ring saver.
Yeah.
Which is just so simple and beautiful in its simplicity. And, you know, it's not high tech, but it does the job really well. And guess what? You can retrieve it from the ground. Right. So I think what happens is that the toolbox we have increases. You know, there's more tools in there to select from, which holds its own challenges. You know, as we're seeing at the moment, questions need to be answered, new techniques bring new questions with them, and that needs to be worked through. And I think, you know, if we do that diligently and you know, carefully, I think that's, you know, we stand to gain from it. But then, of course, you know, there's also all sorts of other factors that play into it. There's economic factors, there's environmental factors. I think there's, I think we're working with, especially in urban environments, we're working with highly stressed populations of trees with many pathogens coming through that are having a very negative impact on our urban forests. And so I think it's not just a question of how our industry is evolving, but it's also the question of how these urban populations of trees are evolving.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. Mark, it really is a beautiful answer. You know, I don't think that there's one thing that can be said, because there are so many different areas and so many things that change biologically, environmentally, and then from a technology standpoint. But you know, you're right. That was a great point, that we sort of are locked into this step-by-step process where we need to move on to the next step already, and that it sort of causes this anxiety, if you will. And you know, the one thing with anything high angle or in the air rope access, you don't want to have that anxiety. You want to have this condition of comfort, and I think in comfort there's confidence, and which I also think is a really important concept that we have, is that we're confident in what we're doing and that we really believe in it. You know, I will leave you with that, Mark. I don't want to take up too much of your time. It was such an honor to have you.
No problem. TC, I'd just like to come back to one thing actually from before.
Oh, please. No, please. Okay. I would love it.
Sorry. I don't mean to mess up your
structure. No, it's totally... No, take it where it needs to go.
I think you were talking before, we touched upon that competitiveness.
Yes, yes.
And to me, when, you know, in the whatever it was, you know, late 90s, when I started competing, or when we were... Yeah, when I first became aware of a scene of a group of peers that was larger than just the company I was working in, And that was a time when it was very much, yeah, there was a couple of people out there that were very strong figures. You know, they were like those gurus out there.
Right.
They were untouchable because everything they did was right. And they were very much reference point. And it was a very small group of people. And for me, from the beginning onwards, it was really about, if you got something to say, you're coming from a sort of alternative or punk rock background, to me, that whole do-it-yourself ethos was very much in the front of my mind. It was something that I still believe in to this day,
right.
Which is, if you've got something to contribute it,
right.
You know, be authentic and state where you stand. But to me, I think there's a very strong political and ethical message standing in front of people, being authentic but not being a guru. You know, this is not about power.
Right.
You know, have something to say. I will state what I know clearly, and I will not be shy to admit to not knowing something. And I think that's a really that's a strong message to give to young climbers as well, to people who are new in this industry, to say, you know, don't be shy to speak out and don't be shy to try and change where you think there should be change.
Right.
And it's not about, I hear somebody saying, you know, what you guys do, you know, you guys are awesome. And I always find that a bit abstract because we've not met. That needs to be negotiated.
Right.
You know, and what happens then is when we get together and we have a chat, you know, I'll realize, you know, this is your strong point. You know a lot about this. You've thought about this a lot, and yours, and the same vice versa.
Right.
But that needs to be negotiated. Treemagineers has its strengths. It also has its weaknesses.
Right.
You know, in accordance with our personalities, with Chris and Bettis and my personalities. And if we could make a contribution, I'm very happy. It will be meaningful to some. It will be meaningless to others,
right.
But that's fine. You know, at the end of the day, if we all contribute, that sort of tapestry or mosaic that makes up our culture becomes all the richer. But I always know when I'm doing a presentation or a workshop, basically everybody in the audience has their stories to tell as well,
right.
And I think it pays to be humble,
right.
and you know, I'll be the first to admit to many things I do not know or forget.
No, I One of the things that always strikes me is this power in the community that is what you described as the mosaic that arboriculture is. I think that we make each other so much stronger. Me personally, I see it at work. I see it at comps. I see it everywhere. You know, the people that are the lead dogs of the pack, you know, you want to get there, not because you know there is a competitive edge, but there's this admiration that you know you look up to people and you want to be as good as them. But I think what the beautiful thing is that exists is that when you really sit down and you have a conversation with someone, you know, you can really tell how good they are, or how, you know, maybe not as aligned as you that they will be. So I think it's important that we do stay humble and that we do reach out to everyone that we can and say, you know, what is your story and what do you have to contribute? Because really everything that we have, all the tools that we have, all the knowledge that we have, the research, you know, people pour their heart and their soul and a lot of their time into those things. And I think that we need to be grateful for that. We need to be grateful for the contributions that have been made, and the time that has been spent, because like I said, at the end of the day, I really do think that the people that are contributing and that are leaving things behind, they are looking for something more every day. They want to go deeper into the philosophy and into the science, and into the relationships that they have with clients. And you know, that's what it is about. I think that everyone out there is seeking this inspiration every day for what we do.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So,
you know, I mean, this is really an ongoing conversation that we're going to have here. And because so many things change, but, you know, like you said, you touched on the simplicity, this concept of simplicity and what works and hanging on to what works is really a beautiful thing. You know, sometimes I think that we're looking for solutions to problems that don't exist. And, and you know, other times we may not be looking hard enough. And so there is definitely a balance there. But Mark, thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate it so much. I appreciate your expertise and your time to sit down and talk with me. You're such a beautiful mind. And I do appreciate it. And I know everyone that listens in is just gonna love to hear what you have to say.
Great. Well, thanks for asking me. And yeah, thank you.
Absolutely, Mark. And I'll be in touch. And I follow your blog. Everyone can check out your blog at treemagineers.com. You guys have some great media up on that website. And keep up the good work. And I'll be in touch.
Yeah, appreciate that. Thank you very much, CC. You look after yourself.
See you later, Mark.
Yeah, bye-bye.